Chapter 1, I want to read from verses 15 through 23 as we talk about foundational matters. Paul writes this. He says, "For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And let's pray. And Father, we are so grateful for the words that are written by the Apostle Paul. Lord, we're grateful for the provision and the blessing of being your children, God. And we pray that you would help us to better understand and to have a fresh revelation of who you are and who we are as your children, God. Lord, we pray today for our friends in Mobile and along the Mississippi coast, many of the churches there that we know, we pray. And for all of the community, Lord, from the winds and the rain that they have received with Hurricane Nate, God, we thank you for them and we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's clear that Paul, he's motivated to give praise and to pray because of the way that God has worked to bring about salvation. If you look in verse 15, he says, "For this reason." And what he's doing, the reason he says "for this reason," so you need to go back and look, "for this reason," it's always good to look back and see what those verses. And what he's doing is he's pointing us back to what is called the doxology, which is in verses 3 through 14. And what that does is it expresses praise to God for binding us to himself through the grace given us in Jesus Christ. We could not have the relationship, you know this is true, without God's grace being extended in our lives. And Paul, he's so aware of that. And so, you know, because of God's work of grace and blessing in the lives of these Christians that he's writing to, I mean, Paul is motivated to give praise to God for them and to pray consistently, you know, for them. You know, one of the great things that I'm blessed by in our relationship with the Lord is that that prayer is not only about, you know, putting up our requests. We can give praise to God. Both for, I mean, many times, I don't know about you, but when we begin to pray, you know, before, you know, putting, you know, my requests and you know, and I have requests just like you do, you know, I love just giving praise to God. And that's what Paul is doing. He's giving praise to God for what he is, the testimony of these believers. This morning, I want to highlight, there's actually four of the reasons that Paul gives thanks and consistently prays, as we see in this text. And I'm only going to cover two, okay? I'm only going to cover two. That's all I'm going to have time for. And then next week, we look forward to having Dr. Pete. And then I'm going to come back and I'll do the second part of the message. And so anyway, so let's look at the first, you know, reason that Paul is praying and he's giving praise to God. He's talking about the need to understand the larger movement of God in the body of Christ. You know, the testimony that Paul heard about this group of Christians is that their faith in Christ motivates them to love other believers that God has set apart for himself. Now, I want you to think about something, because I know it's easy for us to kind of take things for granted, but there's something significant about God's people because he has set them apart for himself. Isn't that right? I mean, you're not just Kathy Floyd or you're not just Mike Thompson. You've been set apart for the Lord's special purpose. Amen? Wow. Isn't that great? I mean, you know, and I know life is, you know, there's all kind of things going on. The Texans are playing the Chiefs today and all kind of things are happening, you know, in our life. But God has set us apart as his children. And the great thing is it's not just us. I mean, you know, I know we have our struggles and we go through things and all of that. But listen, God is much bigger than we can imagine. Isn't that right? I mean, he's bigger. Say it with, he's bigger than we can imagine. Let's say it. He's bigger than we can imagine. And I think one of the great things about, you know, having this sense and praying for what God's doing is it helps us to see, because how many of you know it's easy to get discouraged by what you see going on around you many times? Thank you, Linda. Me too. You know, I mean, think of all of the data, all of the information that you receive on a daily basis on your computer or your on your phone, you know, which is your computer, I guess, for many of us. And so those things can be discouraging. But when you begin to see and you begin to hear about what the larger movement, what God is doing in the body of Christ, listen, it takes us into a new place. It reminds us how great the God is that we love and that we serve. You know, I'm making a confession to you, okay, so perk up. You know, during the past 15 years, as I've served as your pastor, you know, the relationship and the communication and being with other pastors and other leaders and other Christians outside, you know, even Christ Covenant Church, number one, it's challenged me because it's helped me to gain a better understanding of how big God really is. And I'm not in any way saying to you that I know how big God is. But what I'm confessing is that I've made God too small. And so I'm grateful that God challenged me, challenged my thinking. I mean, Romans 12 talks about that you know, the transformation of the mind. My mind needed to be, and still does, it needs to be transformed to see we got a big God that we love and that we serve. And there are people that not only, you know, that we love and that we're close to, but there are millions of people in the body of Christ. And the kingdom of God is being extended, and it's going to be extended. There's nothing that Satan can do to stop it. And we're going to see it one day. We won't understand and, you know, fully and to see everything until we move into eternity. That's going to be an exciting day. But listen, the children of God, they're such a blessing. And so there's a greater movement that God is working in this earth that is the body of Christ. And Paul is seeing this. He's exhorting us. He's challenging us. And by his own relationship, he's giving praise and he's offering up prayers for what he sees and what he hears that God is doing. And realizing something, it's very likely that he didn't know any of the people that he's writing to. That's good stuff, isn't it? Look at verse 18 with me, and Greg talked about Ephesians 3, which is very similar, obviously a part of the same letter. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now listen to me real carefully, okay? This is important. The hope of God's calling has to do with Christians knowing that God's call in their lives will make a radical and a positive change in what the future holds for them. Let me say it for you. Because of what God has done through Jesus Christ, when you receive Christ into your heart and you become a child of God, listen, what God is going to do when he inherits you, your future is going to change. None of us that are sitting here today that are believers, that are born again children of God. Listen, our future is radically different than it would have been without Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Thank God. Amen. Our lives have been changed. Why is that? because we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And because we've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, we've been set apart to be God's children. And listen to this. This is great, okay? The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people is not our inheritance. It's the inheritance that the Father receives when he receives the people that he set apart for himself. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are God's inheritance through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so what happens is there's an inheritance that comes. And when God receives us as his children, as that inheritance, then what happens is, then what takes place is there's revelation and there's understanding that God begins to give us for life. It doesn't all come at one time. I mean, many of us, you know, we pray, God, would you give me, you know, a fresh revelation? Would you help me to have understanding about life? And what God says is, I receive you as my inheritance and I set you aside. Then there's a spirit of revelation and understanding that the Holy Spirit can give to us as God's children. Amen. We are a blessing to God. And then what happens is that when that happens, then God's glory is manifested to the earth. That's why it's, you know, the scripture teaches us, and we know that the thing that gives God the most glory is a transformed life of the sinner. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, because of what Christ is doing in your life, you are a great inheritance to the Father. Not on your own and not on my own, but because of what Christ has done. We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Our lives are being changed. And so God blesses us to know him. God blesses us to give us understanding and to have life. And he's called us to share that life. How many of y'all like the rodeo? Oh, yeah. I know y'all like the rodeo. Sheila, Melissa, Mike and Melissa serve a lot at the rodeo. And but how many of y'all, you know, especially when they, you know, NRG, what did it used to be, Reliant, you go, you know, there's, if you go, they turn the lights off, right? Almost every rodeo, they do that, with that thing where they turn the lights off. And then the lights come on. Now, what I'm saying to you, what God does in us is that it's like the lights, except it's greater. You understand what I'm saying? And when God inherits us as his children and begins to give us revelation and blessing and understanding in life, we become like those lights. And you know what? The more lights there are, the greater the glory is that's given to God. The brighter it is, and to shine into the spiritual darkness that sin has cast over this world. You're not just some church member at Christ Covenant Church. You're a child of the King. You're a spiritual son, a spiritual daughter of the Heavenly Father who has paid a price for you. And listen, I don't fully understand that. And it says in Scripture that even before that we came to Christ, that he created a way, God did, because he loved us. And he came to show us what he was like through Christ. And so we're blessed to be his children beyond what we can imagine. And we are part of the body of Christ in this earth. The second need that Paul really prays about is the need for Christians to pray for other Christians beyond themselves. In other words, that even praying for those that we may not know. Paul has heard of their faith and love, so he prays for them to know the hope of God's calling in their lives, as I just talked about. And he doesn't know them, most likely, personally. I mean, that, you know, friendships, you know, a family and those kinds of things. But here's what faith, we know that faith does in Jesus Christ. it produces a love in our hearts towards other Christians. The fact that you want to give to people, you know, that you don't know, the fact that you want to pray for people that you don't know is because of your faith in Jesus Christ motivates you to love other Christians, even though you may not know them. Now we know that we can't love everybody in the same way, but the thing that we can do is we can pray for the body of Christ. I mean, it's not only that we would pray for one another, and I think that's so important. And that's one of the things that I love about this church, that most of the times when people say, would you pray for me? You know, that the practice is lay your hands on them right then and pray for them. But there are prayers that go up for other Christians, you know, that are so important. I'd like to read from Romans 8, and this is why, you know, that this is important, because, you know, faith, love and hope are really foundational terms for Christianity. And so we share this common bond, and Paul does with those that he writes to. But listen to what Romans 8, 22 through 24 says. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? I was so blessed, and I talked about this last night. You know, we recently spent 6 weeks in congregational prayer, if I can say it right. What do we pray about? I mean, we prayed for many, you know, Christians that we didn't know. And one of the things that really blessed me was that I think we only had one gathering during that 6 weeks when there was less than 25 people. Many times it was 25 and maybe 30 people. But this is, you know, because of God's love in our hearts, you know, we prayed for specific needs in our community concerning other churches. We prayed that God would raise up Christians to share their faith in Christ, that we would be bold in our witnessing in this community and obviously in our country. We prayed for God to raise up Christian families in our community. Do you understand that Christian families and what God is doing in the light that I talked about? I mean, it's like a piece of fabric. If you want to know how bad things would be, then just take all of that out of our community. And listen, it would be a much darker community if you think things might be difficult. But listen, Christian families make a difference in the lives of our community. We pray that husbands and fathers would be godly spiritual leaders of their homes. We pray that wives and moms will love and respect their husbands. And we prayed for single parent homes to be strengthened and encouraged as they raise their children alone. And some of you are here today and you're single parents and you know the challenges of that. And so, you know, our testimony out of these prayer gatherings is that God heard our prayers. There were a number of you that God spoke to. I mean, Richard has sent me a number of things in scriptures and a dream that he had or a vision that he had, you know, about what God spoke to him during this time and providing specific answers for our prayers that we've heard and we've seen. But I want to ask you something. Do you believe that our community was strengthened by 20 to 25 people getting together for 6 weeks to pray? Absolutely. And should we do it again? Yes, we should. God heard our prayers. And I believe just as many of you, I mean, you know, if the, like, let me talk about, you know, going through the hip surgery and just the long extended recovery that I'm having. But you know what? I felt God's prayers. And I believe that in our community, even though there were people that we don't know that we were praying for, I believe that the Lord strengthened them. One, because he's faithful, and secondly, because God's people pray. And when God's people get together, I mean, historically, if you look at it, it's so great. It only takes a small handful of people to repent and to change their hearts and pray, and God begins to move and do great things. Man, that's a great thing. Man, that's a great thing. Yeah. I'm grateful to the Lord that we can come together, and whether it's in our corporate worship setting or whether it's two or three. And listen, it doesn't matter who the two or three are, but we come together to give praise to God and to pray. God is with us. I want you to know that God is with you. And I believe that God desires for the prayer relationship of every one of us, including me, both individually and corporately, to grow. And I believe that it will not only be a blessing to us, but it'll be a blessing to those in our community, to our families, and to people that we don't know. Do you believe that? I do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you, Father, for your word. And we receive what you would do by the power of your Holy Spirit and the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.